is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This was God, not man. It's all God's doing. That's why God is alive. He's still alive. Because we're receiving His Word through this book. So many people feel like God has to be walking around and in front of you where you can see Him. But God's got a plan and a pattern that you're not going to see Him until that day comes. And He talks about there's no private interpretation. You can't go back and say that God told me in a corner yesterday, He told me something, how things are going to go. That's a myth. That's not the truth. God don't work that way. See, the book told you God don't work that way. See, God's got a pattern and He works it the way He wants to work it, not the way that we want it worked. There's so many times we want it to work the way we want it to work. But God runs it all. He made it all. He's going to control it all. And as He said, He gave His Son power too, to be the judge at the end. See, that's God's pattern. That's not ours. We don't have no control. The only control we have is us coming to do things that God asks us to do. And when we say that we're bigger than God, we're just lying to ourselves. And what's so great about the Bible, the unity of the Bible, when it talked about you, we studied in a lot of our classes, we've already studied a lot about Genesis. And in Joshua, it talked about a group of people, Hittites. And sometimes we have questions, there are people questioning, there is no such thing as Hittites in the Bible. And then Joshua chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible speaks of it. And we look at all the different times that man has questions and to throw you far, far off. And not to stay on that same pattern that God has given us. In Joshua chapter 3, in the verses 10, and Joshua said, "Hereby ye know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gergesites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites." But the Hittites, it was always said that there was no such thing. Man, I say that today. Just to make an argument. And as you find and you read what God says about certain things and how come to pass. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah foretold the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. As you know, that there's not going to be no such thing as men say. Men have questions and no, there really wasn't. That didn't happen. But as you read in 7:14, it talked about it. And in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 through 25, it talked about it again. Verse 18 in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child and the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not, take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Yes, God's alive. Yes, God makes promises, and yes, God keeps them. He keeps every promise he makes. Every promise. What does the accuracy of the Bible in the area of science, history, fulfill, prophecies, and to unity of the writers indicate to you? It's true. The Bible is true. You know, when the Bible talks about it's all true, and we know that we have to believe the truth. We know this is a sinful old world, and we live among it, within it. And there's so many things that come, I always say, come at us. Especially when we're not even expecting it. Some days you want to come to church and seem like all the excuses in the world. Like sometimes we hear Brother John and others say, what about that little bit old hangnail slows us down? Or some people say, oh, my big toe hurts and my shoe won't fit, so I can't come. And we say that God understands that. And to that individual, I always say, how can you expect God to understand that when God sent his only begotten Son on this earth? His only begotten Son. It wasn't like a lot of us have two or three sons. I've got three. But I still question if I'm going to send them down here to die for a sinful world. But I know God's different. That's what I said earlier. I can't compare to God. Or would you give one of your children away? Sacrifice them. It's a hard job. Hard. Overcoming sin. It's a hard job. In John chapter 8, in the verses 24. It's a very hard job for man. But I'm in verse 24, but I want to skip up and come just up a little bit to verse 23. I don't want to leave that out because that's a very important verse. And he said unto them, you're from beneath. I am from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. Look how important God made that verse. Because he told us twice. He didn't tell you just one time. Look at the power of that verse. He tells you two times. Not just one time. He tells you twice. And he told you, that, where is he from? He's from above. We're from beneath. Showing us that the authority that he has over us. And if you believe not that I am he, you should die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world these things which I have heard of him. And if you turn to skip to verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not? Which of you conveneth means to sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is our God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you have or not of God. There's reasons why you don't want to believe God. And God is true. And God is alive. There's so many questions in this world that keep floating and floating and floating. Cause you not to want to stay with the pattern that God has set before us. What are the consequences if you don't believe or confess Jesus Christ before men? What are the consequences? Is there any? Can we just live in this world any way we want to live in this world? Don't have to answer. Because there's so many people feel that you don't have to answer. I don't have to be at church. There's no such thing as a God. Is God alive? With the way the world is today, all these things that happen. And as we look at Galatians 5 and verse 19, works of the flesh. That's one of the verses that really stand out the most. And it talks about everything that's sinful under the sun. See, and it talks about so many things that people don't want to hear about. But God's got a pattern in his Bible. You're going to hear Him. You're going to hear what He got to say. You know, and I think about different individuals stand before audiences and they have to talk about the Bible. They got to preach it. Under no circumstances they can shortchange a person. And so many times, you know, I get really nervous when I prepare a lesson. And really scared when I present it. Because if I tell you anything that's not written in this book, I'm in trouble. And as us as Christians, if we don't take what God tells us to do and live according to the pattern that God has set before us, we're in trouble. See, there's no little me and big you, or big you and little me. When we do the things that God tells us not to do, we're in trouble. Now in Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seduction, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelry, and such like. See, that's the part that I love about verse 21. It talks in 5, in verses 19, in works of the flesh. And it talks about everything. What does it say about certain things? It says, now the works of the flesh. And I've heard many people tell me about it. Envies, murders, drunkenness. What don't tell you don't drink? How you get drunk? If you don't tell you don't drink, he said, I ain't never found nothing where it's never told me to drink. I can't drink. Then how you get drunk if you don't drink? But then when he tells you don't do that. Then the thing about I love verse 21, it says, it says in 21, and it talks about that, and it says, and therefore, in anything such like, what's such like mean? Close. Anything pertain to it. Anything that moves you to go that way. Anything close. Why? Why do you say that, Brother Washington? Such like. Of which I tell you before, and I have told you in times past, that they which who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Anything close. Well, I was just, I didn't get close to the fire. Have you ever noticed having a bonfire and you don't get close to the fire, but it seemed like there's a gas pocket or something in one of the limbs or sap or something in it, and then the sparks and everything come over and get you, but you wouldn't, you know, it still burnt you. You still got burnt. And when God said, and such like, anything close to it, anything gets you near it, no inheritance to the kingdom. That's horrible. That's horrible. And I think about the people in the world today, all the things they do. I've never read nowhere in this Bible says Adam and Steve. Never. But God had a pattern for Adam and Eve. He had a pattern for them. And there's so many people today when it comes to marriage. And the Bible says, don't let no man put you asunder. But what does man do? I don't want to follow that pattern. What did Noah do when God gave him a pattern? They built an ark. Come on, crazy Noah. It ain't going to rain. It ain't never rained before. What makes you think it's going to rain now? He ain't listening to who's giving the orders out. See, the person still giving the orders was that same one in the beginning. He's still giving all those same orders out. Noah, you got to be crazy. All you Church of Christ people, y'all got to be crazy thinking there's only one church. Where you guys come up with that? Following this pattern. In Ephesians, there's a pattern. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's a pattern. That same pattern, because God said, and God said, God's still saying, all the way through this thing to the end. To the end. Evidence is seen by the sun out, by the rainbow. Evidence that his son was coming. Evidence that his son was going to be crucified for sins. It happened. He's always been true to his word. So for whatever God has said, he's always been true. And God made a pattern of worship. When to worship, how to worship. When I first started coming around Church of Christ when I was a young boy, things seemed different. Because where I used to worship, it didn't look alike. You know, I kept always looking around for a piano, organ, drums, looking for something. And then in Ephesians 5:19, and it started talking about mentioning acapella. And it says, though it don't say the word acapella in there, but it says lips. And the only way you can sing with your lips is acapella. And I watched the tray and I watched the different things and I kept saying, well, why did they do this every Sunday? Because God said it. And I love it. Because I don't lie. You know, in life, we all been lied to, and we do not like it. So when I find something like God has to give, the truth, it's wonderful. And when I become in a group of people, they call it God's family. It's so beautiful. And I know you always look at Brother Washington and he always gets sentimental. Whew. But Brother Washington can tell you, when God takes care of you and blesses you, you don't forget. See, God can make you so humble. See, when you think you're tough, you ain't tough. You ain't tough at all. God's the toughest. See, God made this world. God's going to end this world. I'm just a part of it. What was so great is that you come together with a group of people that have the same belief for the same cause. The preachers, teachers teach the same thing. Don't care what the season is in the Bible. They said, no matter what season, in season, out of season. In season when everybody likes you and everybody's flapping, everybody's getting along. But you still preach it even out of season when they hate you for telling the truth. But see, they hate our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ for being a just and true person. They spit on him. They crucified him. The death, the burial, the resurrection. That's part of the gospel. And that's what the Church of Christ is all about. You hear the gospel every Lord's Day. Not a story about went to the circus and we had fun and just something to be itchy to your ear. That ain't the gospel. The gospel is that death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ preached. And he preaches it constantly. In season, out of season. And God made a pattern that we go by to become in that God's family. And the greatest thing about God's family, and just to think about all the evidences that God has showed us through this lesson earlier and even up to now, when a brother meets sorrow, we all feel this grief. That's family. See, God's family can be preached every Sunday. Every Sunday. You can preach about God's family. Because the gospel is always preached among God's family. And we have loved ones that had people in the hospitals and bereavement, people losing their loved ones. But God's family, so it was put together so tightly, knitted together. I just love my family here. You know, when God says, and when you get a text from a brother and the sisters text each other, I know you got to feel the same way I feel. This morning, Brother John texted me. That's God's family. He said, Brother Joe, preach. He said, just preach. I might sound sad, but it's joy. This is joy in my heart. So when that invitational song is sung, there's no other way to put it but become a member of God's family. It's wonderful. I guarantee it's the best thing you ever done in your life. And there's times that we have done things wrong, we need to come back. Because we're going to give you that opportunity also. So faith comes from hearing the word of God in Romans 10:17. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to continue to seek God. It was a beautiful story this morning in Bible study. the love a woman showed for her mother-in-law. And she continued to work hard, making sure that her mother-in-law was taken care of. It was a great story, a love story. And the love that we must have for God. That's why we must be saved. And I hear individuals time and time again on those same questions. Why do you have to be baptized? Well, I know God got baptized. Jesus got baptized because it was just, he went through the formalities. You know, he just done it just to be doing it. See, there's more to it. Because Mark tells you, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not. See, they always say, well, he didn't say you had to be, the baptism word never came up when he said, and he that believeth not, it wasn't even in that part. So they try to throw an ad onto that. He said, but if you believe, you'll be baptized. And if you believe not, you're not going to be baptized, but you'll be damned. That's for sure. And after baptism, there's times that you'll fall short. A lot of times you'll fall short. But God always gives you that. There's always that pattern that God has in front of us that you can come back. And he talks about remaining faithful unto death. We all fall short. We all make wrong decisions. But if you keep an eye in your mind in the book, we'll make the right ones. Because life is a whole lot easier. I know that from what little time I've been here. When you do it God's way, things are so easy. They're so much easier. As we've been studying about the Israelites, how they get off the path, how they get out of the pattern, you know, and all the pain and suffering takes place. So we know, God knows, that he set a pattern that knows that you can come back if you fall away. And if there's anyone here that needs to be baptized, because we have a place for you. We have men that can do the job. And if you need to come back because you lost your first love, God's given you that chance. And always remember, don't take his chances for granted. Because he might not give you another. Let us stand. Saying the selection that been selected.
Will you come? Will you come?